Blog Talk Radio.
What if you were wearing something sexy? What if you were drinking? What if you made the first move? No matter what, sexual assault is never your fault. Support is available 24/7 through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Call 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.org. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, reminding you, it's never your fault.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Good evening, good evening. This is a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keys. Also, you can check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. And guess what? The show is on Blog Talk Radio now, Spotify, Stitcher, all over the place, iTunes. So wherever you're listening to your music or other podcasts, you can also tune in to me and the wonderful guests that I have. Well, this evening I have a wonderful guest, and that's why I'm having the show. You might have seen her on the Bobby Brown story. You might have seen her on Dear Santa, I Need a Date. you might have seen her dancing somewhere. You might have been in one of her classes. But she's already been around the globe, and now she's leading a show on Starz called P-Valley. Good evening, Brandi Evans.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, my God. Can I tell you, I love your smile. Like, I've watched other interviews. I'm not trying to hit on you. Okay, I'm just saying.
Thank you.
I don't know. I think her smile is like this 100-watt smile. You know what I mean? I don't know if other people think that, but that's something that really stood out for me.
Thank you. Wow.
This is a really risque, if you want to say, show. And it's taken the actors to a lot of places. I'm sure maybe you weren't thinking you were going to go. Let's talk about how you got the show. I heard you got turned down twice before you got on.
Absolutely. I don't even know how many times before that. That's twice that I know of. So my agent, Brianna, was trying to get me in the room just to audition. And when I reached out to her, per the producer, Patrick Ann Polk, I was like, you know, he's looking for a girl. You know, have you heard about this show? And she's like, yes, I've heard about it. And we've already tried, and, you know, you don't fit any of the descriptions that they're currently trying to cast. So then my friend back home, Tia, made me a wig. And, you know, I tried it then. I tried to get makeup done. I did get makeup done and did a photo shoot and everything. Went back to my agent, and she was like, no, Brandi, we still can't get you in. So I know. And then months later, my manager, I just got a manager, my friend had sent me a script, and I was like, oh, I'm not reading this. They do not want me. If they tell me one more time, no, like, why am I going to reach out again? And she's like, well, you got a manager. You never know. So reached out to my manager, who, unbeknownst to me, was already trying to get footage of me. She told me she wanted footage, but she didn't tell me it was for P-Valley, you know. And I was like, I am not trying to dance anymore. And so then when I reached out, I was like, okay, Ms. Debbie, you know, what about this show? And she's like, send me to the footage, you know, send me pictures of you and your dad and everything. So I did all of that and got an audition within 24 hours, finally. And that was in end of June, July or something like that. And
oh,
so the first try was in February. So this is months and months.
Wow. So this is the acting business. I mean, this is something people need to know. It's like, You have to have that never give up spirit, because otherwise
exactly.
You're going to get like knocked down. I mean, now with dancing, you know, that's like professional, but you were also an English teacher.
Yes, I was. Former English teacher, department chair.
Oh my God. So why did you what made you leave? What was the defining moment that made you leave?
I mean, defining moments, sister. There are so many things. During that time, I just had a stillbirth. My ex-husband, now my husband at that time, had been deployed, and I'd lost my job coaching the dance team back home after they won nationals. And so
I was like,
yeah.
Let me talk to those people.
Listen. And they hadn't won since I said it. But
All right.
But I just needed a break and to get away. And so usually when I come to L.A., I would take a class by a gentleman by the name of Kenneth. And so I've been coming to L.A. since I was 16 years old anyway, just taking dance classes or doing workshops. And
right.
I was like, if I go back to L.A. and just dance, at least it would give me a moment to get away from everything. And during that vacation, I ended up booking an agency and booking a tour. So I wrote my resignation letter on the tour.
Hey, see ya. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't want to be ya. Now, you have a lot of, like I said, risque, you're exposing yourself. I read that they have these things called intimacy coaches. Can you tell the audience a little more, like, what do they do? How do they help the actors?
So the intimacy coaches, they are there for many reasons, to make sure that nothing that wasn't in the script is being done. If it's certain types of scenes, where are you touching? Are you comfortable with this touching? What are they wearing? Are they comfortable in their costumes? It's a rehearsal. Literally, I think people don't know that even sex scenes, dance scenes, all of those things are rehearsed. So they're talked about before filming to make sure that everyone's safe. So that's why they're there.
That is really good to know because, you know, as a woman, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, like, all these women, you know, sharing their bodies and exposing themselves, I hope, you know, they're being, you know, treated with respect. And I'm really glad when I learned about that, I was like, wow, that's awesome. And also, there's a lot of women on the set, not just in front, but behind, you know, Katori Hall, the creator. But then tell us about who are the other women that are behind the scenes that we don't see?
It's so many people. One of our first ADs, Carol, she's behind the scene. They rotated the odds and evens. So we had John for the odds, and then we had Carol for the evens. So, and even when Carol wasn't there, she was there, you know. our cinematographers, I mean, it's just everywhere you look, our line producer, our PAs, like just, it was full of women everywhere. So the wardrobe, everywhere you needed someone to be, there was a woman. So if there was, you know, if there was a gentleman there, he had an equal, which was a woman as well. So you could request her. So you felt safe in every way. Mm-hmm.
That's good to know. That's good to know. And you guys do look beautiful. And, you know, a lot of times
Thank
in
you.
Media, black women's bodies are not represented in a positive way. Or even in a real way, you know, there's a certain aesthetic that is acceptable, you know. And that's actually something you guys deal with, colorism on the show between, you know, all the light girl, Autumn, Night, and I think her name is Ellerica, and then yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had to experience that in real life? What has been your experience with that, and how did you handle it?
I have experienced it, but It's been actually different for me. I feel like I'm in the middle. I don't even know why we have to even discuss our colors, but it's a thing. Let's just be real.
Yes,
but,
it is.
out here in California, I noticed when I first moved out here, I was considered darker. So a lot of times I would be told, you know, well, they're looking for someone a little bit more ethnically ambiguous. Someone that fits the realm that can, let's just be real, can relate to the white people and relate to the black people, but not be too harsh. I was told that my short hair came across aggressive when I first moved out here. And I didn't change it. Like, I was like, I'm not going to put weed down my back because I'm, you know, I'm the aggressive black girl.
They said aggressive.
I came across aggressive.
Crazy. In this day and age, and this is why we're going through these things, like the protests and George Floyd. What do you remember where you were when you learned about the George Floyd incident?
At the house. Yes, I was at the house, not doing anything with my mom. And it was one of those moments where it's just like, here we go again. And unfortunately, it's not surprising, and it should be, but it's not because it just keeps happening. And I'm just hoping that stops soon. Please.
Right.
God.
Now, you notice there's been like a little sexism with this thing because Brianna, the woman that got shot up in her house
multiple times,
she's not, nothing's being done.
I keep trying to drop my post here and there too. Like, we haven't forgotten. I hope the world hasn't forgotten, but it is very obvious that she's not getting the same type of publicity and help that she deserves as well.
Yeah.
I'm there.
You, America, right? Now, you are a dancer. That's kind of like a real professional job that you had before. You've been around the globe, NBA games, BET experience, and different stars you performed with. How was this different? How, you know, this show was different? And did you do your own stunts?
Oh, this is very different. Very much so. So dancing for Katy Perry or, you know, Monica is completely different than being on that pole. I had to learn all of that. It felt more natural for me with what I did before because that's just what I had done. The NBA teams or, you know, just performing in general, it just felt like here's another stage. But now when you get the cameras involved and you're acting, it's a different beast. I did about 98% of my stunts. I did have doubles. Of course, every actor has to have that for safety reasons and for contracts. I cannot drop from my head. That is not me on the ceiling.
Right.
People keep saying, is that her? That is not me. That is Spida, who is amazing, and she's the one that trained me in all of my stunts.
Wow.
But any of the head drops and things of that sort, I'm not allowed to do, and I let them do that. That they are the professionals. My job is to act. And, of course, I am I'm competitive with myself as far as, like, I want to try this trick, I want to try that trick. So I did try to push the envelope on doing more than I was even supposed to do when it came to the stunts.
I heard that is a 12 pole. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. Honestly, I wanted it to be taller. I'm not scared of height. Yeah, so I was
okay,
let's go for it. You know, this is the girl that bungee jumped in Australia. So I was like, okay, I can do this. Or New Zealand, rather. So
I want to jump out the plane. That's on my bucket list, jump out the plane. So,
I hear that's easier. I will never bungee jump again, ever.
Are you serious? You think
never.
The bungee
that
jump was worse than jumping out of a plane?
Yes. It was. That's,
oh, my God.
My fellow dancers, when we were on tour with Katie, we all bungee jumped from the New Zealand bridge, and they went skydiving. I went to Japan, but they went skydiving, and they were all saying that one was way easier, too, because you're just kind of floating. That bungee jump is just like a drop. And,
Well, I did hot air balloon. Have you done hot air balloon?
I have done that, yes.
Isn't that awesome?
I love it. I did that in Hawaii.
It was just like floating. It was great. It wasn't, my stomach didn't get upset. Like, I thought my stomach was going to, like, you know, get, like, upset.
Right.
And, like, bouncy or something. No, we were just, like, floating along. And we ended up landing in this cornfield next to somebody's house in, like, Pennsylvania somewhere. It was crazy.
I love it.
The guy was like, can we land here? And they were like, okay.
You're coming down now.
Right. We're coming down. So now, I love the character. You have some really cool lines in there. I love the line about stacks of paper. I think that should be a real life thing. Did you have any words of wisdom that you used to teach your young ladies when you were teaching them before, when you were teaching them dance before?
You know, that's so funny you say that. My girls will even say, some of them, I have been posting about it too, I always told them that you have to go full out, that marking isn't an option. So when Katori actually wrote that in the script, and when I got the script, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Are you sure we don't really know each other? Because I've been telling little girls this since, like, they were little. But I do feel like it's always a full-out thing. I've always said that growing up, that there is no halfway doing anything. Either you go full out or go home. Like, it's go hard or go home, period. And I feel that way in life as well. Stack your paper, all of that. I'm still boosting my car, okay? I am not yet to buy a new car. I will not. Right now, I'm about to go grocery shopping with you off the phone, and I will probably have to boost it. It is paid for. You know, like, it is unnecessary. We are in quarantine. Yes, no.
Oh, my God. So now, I heard now that you're from Memphis, and Katori's from Memphis. Did you guys have any moments of, like, laughing together or sharing stories or you know, were you able to really talk with her, or was she kind of, like, far away?
She was there, but so, so busy. So here and there, we'd have our moments. It's really funny that I didn't know of her and she didn't know of me, but we found out after we got the jobs, that the job, that we were all kind of in the same circle. So there's a newspaper back home called the Teen Appeal, and it's the teenage version of the commercial appeal. I named that when I was in high school, and I was on the founding, a part of the founding group of that. And then come to find out, after I got the job, my friend Maurice sends me one of the old newspapers, and he's like, that's Katori Hall. And I was like, what? She wrote on the same newspaper? We had no idea. And I sent her that picture. So we've been, like, kind of around each other the whole time. She went to Craigmont High School. I coached at Craigmont High School. Had no idea. All of this, I knew nothing during the audition process.
Small
I found
world.
It all out after.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It's so crazy how the world is small like that. I remember being someplace. I remember I was in Italy one time, and I was walking down the street with my girlfriend, and I bumped into this black couple, and I knew the husband who had written the book. And I was like, I'm in the freaking middle of Italy, and you're here. It's like the world is just crazy sometimes, you know? Now,
I ran into a friend in Japan once on the street. I was like,
look at there.
Sharpie,
Japan.
She's like, Brandy.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. See, crazy like that. Let me ask you about the accent. Because your pronunciation, do you think, this is supposed to be taking place in Mississippi. Did you guys get some coaching on that? Because I mean, I know different people are from, they're not, everybody's not from the South.
Right.
What was that
about? We definitely had a coach on hand, Chris Berry. He's amazing. But for me, I just went back home. So I just imagined, I was like, okay, let's turn your English teacher switch off. Turn off this LA girl that you got in your body now and get back home. How does your family talk? How do your family members in Arkansas talk? Katori likes to say it's Mississippi because it's a mix of Memphis and Mississippi. So I know a lot of Mississippi people are out there like, we don't talk like this, we don't talk like that. Well, y'all, some people do, okay? And it is not exaggerated. And people are upset, but I think we all need to just travel more, y'all. It's not just because you might be in Holly Springs, Mississippi, not talking like this. Someone else, you know, in Hot Springs might be talking that way. So you just never know. In Hot Springs.
Yeah, you never know. Well, one of the listeners, they wanted to know, well, I don't know if this is going to, well, okay, this is a little spoiler alert for people. If you didn't see one of the episodes, you are going away in a police car, your character Mercedes. So one of the listeners wrote to me and said, are you going to get bailed out by Autumn? And are you and Autumn going to become cool at one point? Is that something you can tell us about? Or
they're going to have to watch and see who bails out Mercedes.
Oh, boy, see?
Definitely cannot give that one away. They've
you cannot give that
scene.
Away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Well, look, one of the crazy scene, you and your mom, okay?
Yeah.
You and your mom, when she walked out of the gym, I was about to knock her out, okay? Oh.
Yes. I mean, everybody wanted to knock her out. Everybody, they're still talking about her right now.
Oh, my God. I right now I hate her. I'm sorry. Now, I'm just going to say that. I know it's a character, but I'm just going to say it. Now, in real life, you are a PK kid. Tell the audience what a PK kid is.
Yes, a PK is a kid. So my father, he's not practicing now, but growing up, I was that PK. We were in church on Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Bible studies, when he would have it in the house some days, he would make us turn off everything and have Bible study. So I'm definitely, thank you, Daddy, for that. I'm definitely a PK. Lots of
church.
How did
you take this? How did you think you're doing this? Really?
Supportive like a good father does. Absolutely supportive. To this day, we talk every single day. We just got the phone earlier this morning. He's probably listening right now. Hey, Daddy. He is very supportive, and he knows that I'm an actress, and he knows who he raised. So he's not concerned about me out here wilding out, if that's what everybody's wondering about or thinking about. He raised me right, so we're good.
What do you say to people who may think, like, this show is blasphemous, like the mother character in the show? What do you say to them? Are you saying the same thing that Mercedes says, or are you saying a little more? What would you say to them?
It is. I do feel the same way. It is art. I'm going to add that is because I'm an English teacher, so it is art. I think that these women, their stories deserve to be told. They are human beings, and they, you know, just because you don't agree with what they do, you know, that's not your decision to make. I think that I respect these women. I respect what they do, and it's difficult. They are athletes, and they deserve all the respect, you know, as any other woman walking on the street. So I think that a lot of times it's insecurity. With some women, I'm just going to be honest, I feel like sometimes women shun them because they aren't
as open
with
their sexuality or something.
Uh-huh,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Secure with their sexuality. hence my Hip Hop and Heels company, trying to teach women to find their own confidence. And I'm not telling every woman to go and get on a pole, you know, but find your own confidence, and that is their way of expressing and liberating their selves. So they're allowed to.
And also money. I mean, like, to be honest, you know, people need money, and a lot of people, some women do it to get through school. Some people just do it because that's someplace they can make a lot of money. So it's not doesn't mean that the person is going out, like you said, being a prostitute or anything like that. But again, it's still their choice, you know.
Exactly.
And what I like, though, is that on this set, you guys are protected and respected. So that makes me happy as a woman, you know, and that, you know, you guys are safe, you know what I mean?
Right.
And not being taken advantage of.
Right. And I think a lot of people have, and I think a lot of people aren't really watching the show to see why it's doing so well. It's not about the dancing. It's about the story. And
yeah,
that's why Katori wrote it. The dance is just a segue, but it's the story behind the women and the men on this show. So
yeah, everybody
to
has
that
a
part.
Good story. You
mm-hmm.
know, Uncle Clifford has a great story. You got the mayor. You got the guy who's the real estate developer.
Exactly.
You got Autumn, and you're trying to figure out, you know, what happened to her baby, because, you know, did her baby die, or they're going to show that? Because, I mean, I'm like, every time I see the flashback, I'm like, what?
Keep watching all of your
questions.
Yes.
Audience, I tried to get it to slip. Now, you're dealing with some heavy stuff in your own life. I understand your mom has MS. My grandmother had MS, so I can understand that journey a little bit. Do you mind talking about that? When did she get MS, or and how long, you know, has that been going on for her?
Ooh, MS. I want to say she was diagnosed around 2003 or 4, and it didn't start as bad as it is now. Of course, it's a progressive disease, so she was able to walk. Mama was very active, as like me, you know, workout queen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She would do her long walks and her yoga. But it's just it's really a horrible disease. It just takes your function away as far as your mobility.
Right.
It can mess with your memory. So
mm-hmm.
you know, her memory isn't there anymore. Her mobility is pretty much almost paralyzed at this point.
Wow.
It messes with your swallowing. She's on pureed
mm-hmm.
foods now. So just watching all of this kind of decline has been very difficult. But, you know, she always used to tell me, stay strong. So we are over here staying strong together and, you know, helping her keep, you know, stay as strong as she can and live as much of a normal life as she can at this stage.
Well, I'm glad that she has you. You know, some people
mm-hmm.
get scared. Some people leave. They don't know how to handle. And so it's good that she has you in her life. MS, there's different types of MS. There's progressive, there's
mm-hmm.
rapid, you know, remitting.
Exactly.
Good shows on MS, and there's a lot of good medicines that are out there, variety of stuff, pills, injectables, everything. So I encourage people to learn more about MS so that you understand what's happening, and understand also that people take a long time to get diagnosed because doctors sometimes miss.
They don't know.
Things,
mm-hmm.
especially in African Americans, and that's the reason I brought
yes.
it up. Especially African Americans, they don't think because they think it's a white woman's disease, but it's
exactly.
not. It's
yep.
not.
And
so,
and diet is key, and a lot of times that's because of that diet. And my mom did not eat right my entire life. Honestly, she's now plant based because of me, but you know, to reverse that is very difficult. So it made me change my lifestyle as well. So a lot of people are like, "You don't eat chicken and you don't do this." Well, it's because of what I'm watching every single day.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to be proactive now with my health because I wish I would have known sooner what I know now, because the diet is very important. And in the African-American community, we eat like trash. Let's just be real, y'all. And
yes.
we have
in general,
to eat better
yes. mm-hmm,
in general.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's
we
one of the things that people don't realize how that impacts you
yes.
so much. Even like
mm-hmm.
the your memory, like when people give kids a lot of sugar and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and they're in schools, and that's why healthy diets in schools are so important for kids.
Right.
I'm mad that they don't have more gym in school. Like, you know, a lot of
right.
schools are taking away gym.
Mm-hmm. They don't think
crazy.
It's important, but exercise exercise is key, eating healthy is key, but then it's also hard to eat healthy too because some people can't afford to eat healthy. So it's just it's a tricky situation because eating healthy is very expensive as well. And sometimes
isn't
in our community, it's hard to pay for that. Yeah.
That's crazy. Like that's it should be absolutely the opposite. You should be easy to get good food for yourself. There shouldn't be food deserts, you know, food deserts where there's no supermarkets or places to get healthy foods, you know.
Right.
I think that's becoming more on the horizon and people are realizing it more. But, you know, sometimes it becomes a race thing. Well, oh, that's what white people eat. So that's white people
eat. And I've heard that. I've heard that. So, and that's just ignorant, y'all. Let's grow. let's grow today, okay?
Really?
We have to eat healthy. We're eating to live, not living to eat. So
yeah. So now I heard hypothetically, okay, this is not for real, y'all, that if you had an opportunity, you would dance for Nelly.
You heard wrong. No.
I heard wrong.
No, that was a funny joke of if you had to pick someone from Atlanta, an Atlanta rapper. That is the only. I'm not dancing for anybody out here.
Unless you're not dancing.
Mercedes.
No, that's exactly. No.
No. Mm-mm.
Oh my God! But now, I heard that you taught Tina Knowles to walk in stilettos. Is that true?
Yes, she was at the BET Experience. Robbie Reed, who has the Love Healthy, Reed for Hope. And it's just amazing. She does this every year at the BET Experience, and she brought me on with my hip hop and heels, and just teaching women confidence and walking in their heels. And Miss Tina don't need confidence now. Miss Tina is a very confident woman in her own, but she came out to dance with us and have a good time. So it was a lot of fun.
What are some funny moments? Like, what's one of the funniest moments you've had so far in P-Valley, maybe taping?
The funniest moments in P-Valley taping. I like the dance. I always go back to my dance team because it just reminds me of how crazy I was as a coach, honestly, because I'm worse than Mercedes. So
really?
My girls said, yes, I'm way worse
than Mercedes.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Oh, I played no games with my girls. And I know one of the girls posted not too long ago. She's like, remember, you threw a chair at me. I think I was 7. I was like, did I? I'm like, there is no telling what I have done.
You threw a chair. What?
Listen, they won. They won. I bet you she didn't drop that pom-pom again. But
whoa.
I was like, do not drop a pom-pom. I was pretty crazy. I was the Bobby Knight of dance. Yeah. I was crazy.
So now I heard you guys are going to get a second season. Is this
true? Yes, that is true. Thank you, God. We did get renewed.
Oh, my God.
Renewed.
Awesome. Awesome.
After episode 2 also, which is amazing. Like, I'm still in shock. Like, I knew we had a good show, but, you know, I was just praying that everyone would tune in and watch, and I'm just so grateful.
I think because of the different characters, you have something for everybody. It's like, you
it
know,
is
you,
something
you,
for everyone.
You have LGBTQI, you got Uncle Clifford, you got, you know, colorism, light girl, dark skin girl, brown skin girl, you have a white girl. You got the men characters, you got the good guy, what's his name, Diamond. So you got different characters, and people can relate to those people, you know, some people, and then the mom, you know, I'm sure there are people out there like, oh, my God, this is horrible, you know. So this is so wonderful for you. I'm glad. Thank you for coming on the show,
Thank
Brandi.
You. Thank you. And you got to make sure you keep watching because 5 is my favorite episode.
Oh,
a lot.
God.
I know
I was
talking to Shannon, Miss Mississippi, today on Twitter. And she was saying, too, that 5 is one of her favorites. So it's going to be a really good one.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you again. I wish you much
thank
success
you.
In all the world. Like, go all out. Stack your paper.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All
thank
right.
You for having
have
me
a
on.
Good evening. Okay,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with Brandi Evans, stars P-Valley Mercedes. Check it out. She said episode 5 is the one to watch. I'll be having 2 shows this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 12, so you can call in then. Follow me on Twitter, @JoyKeys. Check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. And again, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, all those places you can check out the podcast. I hope you enjoy, and tell your friends and family. I'll talk to you Saturday.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.